Part of our November campaign to raise awareness of making best use of evidence and knowledge, I'm talking today to Ashley, who is the Head of Patient Safety and designated Patient Safety Specialist at North Bristol Trust. So Ashley, can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Thanks, Liz. So my role is in sort of three main strands. Head of service, so it's my responsibility to make sure that the organisation has the structures in place to make sure we capture incidents that occur in patient care, and then we have the right tools at our disposal to then learn from those and then respond to those through actions and make sure that we actually implement change. So a big part of my role is looking proactively how we create the right culture, the right environment for our teams to thrive, but then also thinking about how do we respond to make sure we're approaching reviews of patient care in a sensitive way that creates psychological safety and ultimately identifies the right things from that exercise. And then a big part is in making sure that we've got the capacity to and focus to respond to that learning and take actions and deliver on that. And then make sure that that ideally is sustained, so it's not a sort of token actions that we take.
Great, thank you. And how do you stay up to date in your role?
Many ways. So very fortunately to work with the library in terms of patient safety bulletin that is regularly sent around in terms of new literature and things that come out. The other ways that I stay up to date, so I am a member of the Chartered Institute of Human Factors and Ergonomics, which regularly share information about developments in practice with patient safety and with a human factors system thinking lens. I'm also part of several networks locally. So as a patient safety specialist, every NHS organisation has at least one of those, and we form a local network within the Bristol, North Somerset and the BNSSG region.
South Gloucestershire.
Thank you. So we meet regularly to share information about what's going on in our organisations, what learning can we take, how we share that, but also in a practical sense of how do we develop our own practice and advance our knowledge. That also happens at a regional level and a national level, and we work very closely with the health innovation networks around the same principles of how do we collaborate and learn. Beyond that, it's just because I'm a bit of a nerd and I enjoy keeping up to date, so listening to podcasts, reading blogs and articles on the internet. I'm also studying for my master's in human factors and patient safety, so very lucky to then learn from my peers as part of that course.
Fabulous, thank you. Do you find that you have to deal with information overload in your day-to-day work?
Regularly. So in many respects, it's two ways. There's information overload in terms of the operational aspects of patient safety, so the things that happen within the trust and trying to stay on top of where we need to respond so I can offer the right input and advice at the right time. And that often is reactive, so an incident has occurred and something has affected a patient, and then we need to rally around and think about how we're going to respond to that. In terms of also the feed of information that comes through from our national team, so the National Patient Safety Team, the patient safety alerts that we receive, and the other guidance that comes through from those teams, and which can be complicated and regular feeds, and then just the other wealth of information that's out there, trying to sift through the bits that are relevant to patient safety and with the human factor system thinking lens, and those bits that I don't need to worry about.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really good answer. You mentioned in one of your previous answers, communities of practice and belonging to them. So what would you say is the value of nurturing professional relationships in order to share knowledge?
I think it's helpful because we never know everything as individuals. So just being able to collectively share and reflect on what's helpful and how we use some of the tools and practices and make it meaningful, because there's a wealth of information out there, but actually the devil's in the detail of you can use the wrong tool for the wrong purpose sometimes and waste a lot of time. So at a practical level, reflecting on those, kind of how we can use it in these tools in the right way, but also just in terms of confidence building. So as a peer network, that we're all worrying about the same things, or we're all doing things in a similar way, maybe different focus because of our organizations, but actually at the core we're on the same path, which is really reassuring to me as head of service, which there are not many of us around who know the breadth and length of everything to do with patient safety and the national strategies and frameworks we work to. I think also there's power in thinking about where do we collaborate, where do we pool our resources a little bit and develop things together, which makes it easier in terms of, if we think about group hospital status, the future will be how do we make sure that we've got alignment, so regardless of where clinicians are working or communicating, we have a similar understanding of the world that we function with in around patient safety. There's some developments that I'm working on currently around communities of practice as well within the organization, looking to bring people who either have qualifications or experience in human factors or patient safety together so that we can work together and make sure that we're all aligned in how we play that forward, because it goes back to that collaboration and understanding of the direction that we need to go. It's very easy to work in isolation that there maybe isn't quite the right focus that the organization needs. So that allows me to engage with that group of individuals in a very easy way, hopefully a very safe space, to make sure that we're all on the same path and we're all on the same journey, because there's lots of things within human factors that are misinformation, or they're quite old school beliefs that we need to challenge and adapt to.
Fabulous, thank you. You've kind of already answered this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So would you say connecting people to the right knowledge and evidence plays a part in improving patient safety?
Absolutely, yeah. If you don't have the right information available, then it's really easy to respond to something that you would believe is the right perspective to have, but actually can do more harm than good. I think just also having access to the right information challenges our assumptions, our own beliefs as well, in a healthy way.
Fabulous, thank you. So the Lord Darzi Government Commission report highlighted several areas where established evidence has not been put into practice. So what do you think some of the barriers to adoption might be?
Well, that's a very big question. I think sometimes guidance can be helpful, but it can be very confusing as to what it is that people are actually wanting to be achieved from. And is that the interpretation from the way something has been described and then the way that we may be actually practically able to implement it. I think some of the other barriers is that there are great ideas out there in terms of national guidance, but at a practical level, they can be very complicated in terms of cost to the organization, the resources that it means for our staff to actually implement some of these things, and actually that they may be gold standard, but that will it have a significant benefit? So there's always a sense check that needs to be looked at with the guidance. I think sometimes that can be a barrier because it's not obvious what those benefits might be.
Great, thank you. Do you think there's anything around the role of improving access to information and evidence in order to implement change?
Yes, I think that absolutely. One of the biggest challenges is in the wealth of guidance and information that's out there, it's knowing, first of all, what's your reliable sources of information? What are the sources that are mandatory we must respond to? And what are the nice to haves? But also, it's then having that support to understand and interpret what that guidance is really getting at. And part of that is having the full access to the information. You know, sometimes we receive the abridged version, but you need to get into the detail of what it is you're talking about.
Perfect, thank you. So if we wanted to know more about patient safety at MBT, where would we go to look?
So we have a patient safety page on our intranet. That's where we tend to put most of our information in terms of the approaches. Our policy is linked there, our patient safety incident response plan that says this is the direction for the organization, what our priorities are. We're also contactable. Our details are there on the intranet. You can reach out to us as a central team. I also have my own Twitter page that I periodically will just share information about practice and news and relevant guidance or anything that's comes out, often as a just more provoking thought. And then also keeping an eye on the main page. So I will, me and colleagues, I should say, will sometimes write blogs around patient safety and sharing bits of information. And then the other area, just to make the plug, is what I mentioned earlier at the start of this, is the library resource. There is a patient safety bulletin, which is really helpful in just that sift of information to key bits of journal, news, guidance that's come out in the last quarter to help focus. If you don't have time to sift through all those things yourself, it's really helpful. So do sign up to that.
Thank you. That was a lovely little plug for the patient safety bulletin. So last question. If you've got one final piece of advice for anyone looking to engage with patient safety, what would that be?
So I would say that my piece of advice would be to make sure that you have done your online learning. So Learn has several modules which are short and succinct, all about setting the scene of what patient safety is. I think the first position to engage in patient safety is to know what we're talking about. And there's an Essentials for Patient Safety, which is designed for any staff, whether you're clinical or non-clinical. And then beyond that, there's other access to practice around when we talk about systems thinking in the context of patient safety, what does that mean? When we talk about risk, the same. And then depending on your role, there are some specific modules around access to practice in acute care or access to practice for management and clerical staff or maternity. There are several others that we've posted there. So that would be a good starting position. And then the other thing I would just say is engaging in patient safety is often more about being curious. So just ask questions.
That's a fabulous answer. Thank you. So thank you so much for sharing your time and insights with us today. It's been a real pleasure hearing about your approach to improving patient care and how you're fostering positive change at North Bristol Trust. And we really appreciate your perspectives on knowledge sharing, evidence-based practice, and especially the stuff you said around collaboration as well with other people. So thank you very much.
Pleasure.